Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jumping off into hour two. Sports talk here on this Friday afternoon, Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the dads, granddads, stepdads out there. Also, some of the moms that were in the role of dads pressed into action. I know there's a few, several out there, perhaps. Hats off to all of you guys. And once again, happy Father's Day. As promised, you guys lead off. Jump in the conversation at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Give us your favorite father-son moments, father-daughter moments, especially if it's sports-related. What'd your dad teach you about life? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Best father-son, father-daughter combos in sports, 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Kent on a cell phone. What's going on, Kent? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Kent. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Well, my dad graduated from LSU in 1951, the year that I was born. And, he played high school football, as much as it was back then in small towns. But so I remember sitting around every Saturday night during college football season in Bunky, Louisiana, where I lived at the time, listening to LSU football on 870 AM on that round dial type radio, and it was always crackly, and faded in and out. But we could always listen to the Tigers. And then we moved to Port Allen when I was about 8 or 9, so we got season tickets so we could actually go see the Tigers. And when it came time for me to graduate from high school and go to college, my mom asked me, my dad didn't say a word, but my mom asked me, said, well, you only applied to LSU. What are you going to do if you don't get in? I said, well, I don't know. I never thought about that. So anyway.
He put that in your blood, huh? It was like, hey, you're an LSU fan and you're a Saints fan, period.
Oh, absolutely, I'm a Saints fan. But I found out later that my wife's dad, my father-in-law, who graduated from LSU Law School, he and all of his kids would gather around that round dial radio also Saturday night during football season. So great memories, man. Great memories.
Yeah. Good stuff. Happy Father's Day, Kent.
Thank you. And I loved your story, too, about your dad taking you to the Saints fans. That was a really cool dad, man.
Well, thanks. My dad's awesome. I got a lot of memories with – I'm going to share them. I got a lot of memories that I can share with my dad that – some are funny and some are kind of intense at times. Kent, thanks, man.
There you go. That sounds very normal. Well, look, thank you, and happy Father's Day to you, sir.
All right, Kent. Thank you, man. Papa Case. What's going on, Papa Case in Biloxi? You're on WWL.
Oh, Semper Fi, Christian.
Semper Fi.
Is Bobby there?
No, he's not. He was just on the phone
with us. That's fine. I met y'all at Rouse's in Gulfport.
Oh, the other day? Yeah, hey. How are you?
Man, I'm better once I met you all.
Well, that's awesome.
Anyway, I got two little stories to tell you. They're going to be quick, okay?
All right, okay.
All right. My dad, we were avid fishermen. I had a Friday off for a teacher's convention or. I used to do back in the late 50s, early 60s. We had a 7.5 horsepower boom. We'd go rent a cypress skiff on the bio for a dollar, and you get 100 shrimp for a dollar. It's fill up a bait well. We went out, we slayed the truck. We got home, he took the motor out of the truck. Put it in a 55-gallon barrel, put water in it, fill it up, clean it out, and I cleaned the fish. And we didn't feel it back then. We scaled, cut the head off, the guts, and just cut them down the middle. Anyway, we go back Saturday to the next day. Same spot. We ain't had a bite in 20, 25 minutes. Said, Daddy, they were here yesterday. He went, fish don't have mailboxes. I mean, I will never, of all the things he ever told me, I will never forget that. Would you?
No, that's a good one, Papa Case. Thank you so much for the phone call, and happy Father's Day. Glad to have met you the other day in Biloxi. Coming back for Michael, Linda, Ron, and Chris. Sit tight. Also, my dad, David, stepping into the radio huddle. Can't wait to talk to my dad on Father's Day weekend. After, we'll get back to your phone calls, I promise. I want to hear every one of your stories. Got plenty of time. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Taking in this Father's Day weekend, talking Father's Day memories. Father-son, father-daughter sports memories. Also, father-son, father-daughter combos, best combos in pro sports. Welcome in. Welcome back, I should say. Christian Garrick here. And I told you before, my dad and I went to several Yankees and Mets games when he was stationed at West Point. And I remember one specifically that we missed out on. I'll bring you back to like May. I think May. This was probably 1989, 1990. Dwight Gooden was pitching for the New York Mets opening day. Daryl Strawberry. Kevin McReynolds. I mean, this was the heyday. Gary Carter behind the dish. This was the heyday of the New York Mets. My dad checks me out of school at O'Neill High School. I think I was a freshman. Maybe I was in eighth grade. Anyway, checks me out early. Am I surprised? Dad, where are we going? We're going to opening day, Shea Stadium, Mets. So we drive the hour and a half into the city. Dad, you got tickets? No, we're going to scalp them. Okay, cool. So all in all, my dad and I went to Shea Stadium, and then we get to, I think it's in Queens, right? Maybe it's Flushing. Anyway, and my dad was shocked by the sticker price of some of these tickets on the street. $300 or $400, and now mind you, this is 1989, 1990, $300 a pop just to get in the nosebleeds. Well, we didn't make it into Shea Stadium that day. Dad, you remember that?
You cried and cried and cried. you really could care less if the tickets cost or were going to be scalped for $500, $1,000. It really didn't matter to you.
No.
So yeah, unfortunately we did not make it to that game, but isn't it a great story to tell? And we have so many stories between us, almost all of them, I would say 90% of them have to do with sports, and the other 10% have to do with Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, so, Spaceballs, or Hot Shots.
But we're talking. So, but you do sports talk. So, you know, we're talking about our relationship, and not just our relationship, but fathers and sons. And you know, I was thinking there was a time when you were really young. You were playing T-ball. Starting to fall, you know, that was the beginning of your love affair with baseball as a young boy. And
my dad just dropped out. All right, we'll get him back. But yeah, I think he was. My mom was my first T-ball coach because my dad was in the service. So early on in his career, he was in the field training quite a bit. So he wasn't always not around it intentionally, but unintentionally because of his job in the military was quite demanding, and me and my sister Tara, my mother did a lot of the parenting early on just because my dad was making his way as an Army soldier. By the way, happy birthday to the Army, and I think we got my dad David Garrick back on. You were talking about T-ball, Dad?
Well, I was just making the point because we're going to celebrate Father's Day, but you know, sometimes moms have to be fathers, and sometimes fathers have to be moms. And this was a time when your mother, for those who don't know, I was gone quite a bit. So I think I would try to be a dad as often as
best as I could when I wasn't deployed with my soldiers, but that's not the point. The point is your mom didn't really know anything about baseball, nothing. And she jumped in there.
Yeah.
And she coached your T-ball.
The Indians, Dad, I still remember it. It was the Fort Polk Indians.
Yeah, and she coached. She was like Tommy Lasorda out there, you know. and I'll never forget her for that. That she did a hell of a job. And you know, I would ask dads out there and moms, but dad and moms who are playing the role of dads sometimes to think about all those special times, because really that's, you know, when we, even today, when we communicate and talk, 70 to 80 to 90% of what we're talking about is our relationship, but it's really through sports and mostly, we talk some serious family stuff every once in a while, but mostly it's fun. And we talk about how we love sports and how we really developed our own relationship through sports. I was lucky enough to coach you as a player in baseball and football, and then after that, coach with you as you assisting me, and then at some point, me assisting you as your own head coach. So, you know. I said this some time ago. I feel the same way about your sister and you. At some point, children become adults, and when they become adults, they still remain your kid, and you will do anything in the world to protect them and help them. But they're also your friend, and I think that's the relationship I have with both of my children, you and your sister. And that's really, really, I would say that's probably more enjoyable than, you know, being the heavy sometimes, as you know, former Marine, you know what that means.
Sure.
So, we have so many memories. I won't go into detail, but I know this will make you chuckle. There was a time when both of us were at a Saints game, and when the Buccaneers came into town, and that and I'll let you talk about that to whatever degree you're comfortable, but that was really one great time. And of course, at that time you were a man, you were in the Marine Corps.
So,
that was quite enjoyable for me, even though, it was just quite enjoyable.
Let's just leave it at that. That was probably the best Buccaneers tattoo of a Buccaneers logo I've ever seen in my life.
I saw one great Buccaneers tattoo that day.
Yeah.
But we have so many memories. And you were talking earlier about, and again, dads out there, moms out there that have played the role of dad, you know, let everybody know what you're – go back and call your kid and tell them what you're thinking. But – or him or her, you didn't mention when we drove up to Cincinnati to see the Saints play. What that was in 1987, is that right, Christian?
Yes, December 20th, 1987.
Yeah, so you were in the back seat the whole time because you were so excited. I was driving, you were in the back seat so excited that you couldn't be seated, and you couldn't I couldn't put a seatbelt on you or anything else. You're just literally bouncing around in the back seat, talking to me the entire time. It was about three and a half. Yeah, and it was kind of chilly that day, if I remember. But that was also part of the story. You were just kind of bouncing around back there, so excited. You know, other experiences that we had. I mean, I used to sneak you into a bar.
To watch
games on the satellite, Saints games. I don't think we did our best to never miss a Saints game, especially when I was teaching at the academy. And you were something like 14, 15, and certainly underage. But they just kind of looked the other way when we went into, I think the name of the bar was Sports View. It was
That's right.
certainly certainly before walk-ons or bars like that had places like that had ever been conceived. So those are also great memories. I do also have some great memories of me and you and your mother and your sister
on the basketball court. On a basketball court.
On the basketball,
West Quinn.
On the basketball court. You want to? You got to go?
No. Hold on. Sit tight. I'll carry over. Sit tight. All right. We're going to get our CBS and local news headlines. Sure. We'll get to that one in a moment. Sharing Father's Day memories. If you're on hold, sit tight. Coming to you here on WWL. Mashing it up with my dad here on this Father's Day edition of Sports Talk. David Garrick, and Dad, you were talking about some memories you have on the basketball court at West Point, New York, with Mom and my sister, two of the most unathletic women you'll ever see on the face of the earth.
Yeah, they were, with all due respect, both your mother and your sister were athletically challenged. By no way am I suggesting that you nor I were gifted athletes, because, well, you were better than me, but certainly I was not. And I really want you to – I think you have a little better memory of that, but we were playing in some – a loose game of two-on-two basketball, if I'm not mistaken.
It was me and Mom. It was me and Mom and you and Tara. So
yeah, and
two on two, and my mom gets the ball, and she shoots it. She was underneath the basket. I mean, literally standing underneath it, and does and throws one up to the hoop, right, and it bounces so hard off the rim, and hits her on the shoulder. Luckily, because she did have enough athleticism to move slightly out of the way. Otherwise, it'd have taken out her teeth. I mean, she bounced it right off the rim so hard.
Right. And that has to be almost 30 years later. And we think of that as one of the great memories. A couple of other things that are as
wait. Hold on. You kind of called me out with the Bucks thing, so I'm going to call you out. So me and my sister often talk about this to this day. You talk about years and years removed, how great the memories are. I'll bring you back to West Point. I think it was somewhere, I don't know, December, January, February. I mean, it snowed in May in West Point, we were walking out of the quarters at West Point, me and my dad, I think we were going to the gym, ironically, to play some pickup basketball with the cadets, and we were walking on the sidewalk, and it had iced over a little bit from a good dusting the night before.
It wasn't iced over a little bit. It was iced over a lot.
It's your recollection, because I'm going to get to the true story here in a second. My dad takes a tumble, slips on the ice, and there was a jagged part of the ice that ended up slicing my dad and on the hand. And he gets up, and I'm expecting to see, European Vacation, the biker, the guy that got hit, blood just gushing out of his hand. It's a superficial wound right on his thumb, right where the thumb meets the palm, and he's holding it so tight, ever so tight, like he's in so much pain. And he's, I got a gash. So to this day, me and my sister, if there's some sort of superficial wound that either one of us get, it might be a simple text that we'll send to my dad and say something to the effect of, I got a gash. And it's really just, it's something that, it's like not even, I don't know, not even an eighth of an inch deep. I mean, it's tiny, teeny tiny.
Well, yeah, that's another story that your sister likes to remind me of every opportunity she can, every single opportunity she can. I think she takes advantage of that more than you do. I was during the break, I was golf. You and I really enjoyed playing golf together. Again,
both terrible.
Neither of us were really that good, right? We just weren't that good. But what a great game. And I think it taught you and me too, just how wonderful the game of golf is, and just how difficult it is to play. Other memories that jump to my brain is, of course, being lucky enough to be a commissioned officer when you enlisted into the Marine Corps. Yeah. I was able to swear you in, and that was a special time for me to swear you into the Marine Corps. And of course, we've had some tough times too. You know, when you were a police officer, that accident you were in almost, jumped into a very, very serious. When your mother and I got that call about midnight, it was like, wow, what is going to happen here? And then, of course, we all know, and your sister's in a tough fight now, and of course, everybody's in the tough fight. And, you know, that's what happens when a member of the family gets sick, and we all kind of, everybody has to rally around that, and we all feel like we're in that fight. So, I told your son Christian when he graduated from high school, it was just yesterday that I was his age, and it goes fast, so fast, and not you, Christian, but one discounts just how much time one has when really you don't have much time. So the more you, I think being a father, being a parent is probably the most important job you could ever have in your life.
Yeah.
And, the more you can dedicate yourself to that, the more I think value you deliver to your children. You know that, and my father wasn't around that much. And I think that was probably one of the reasons why I was so committed to being a dad to both you and your sister in a very different way. You know, I fathered you very different than I fathered your sister. I think you know that.
Sure,
and,
absolutely.
But nonetheless, both of you are really equally and special and wonderful to me.
Dad, I got to run, man. It's been fun. Once again, happy Father's Day. Really enjoyed this, all right?
Yeah, love you, man.
All right, love you too, Dad. Coming back, Bobby, Ron, Michael, Tommy, and is it Dodo? This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Before we get to Ian Harrison, I want to squeeze in Ron real quick. And Lulin, go ahead, Ron. You're on WWL sharing your Father's Day memory.
Hey, thank you. How y'all doing today?
Good.
I want to wish everybody happy Father's Day. And my father taught me, my father passed away 3 years ago, but my father taught me to be dedicated, hardworking, and honest. And I got a lot of good memories of him. I'll tell you a quick story. I got lost leaving Pottsgrain a long time ago. And an hour and a half later, I ended up in Mississippi. I had to call my dad, and my dad said some cross words, but he came and got me.
That's what good dads will do. No matter what, they may be upset with you. They're still going to be there to ultimately get you out of trouble. Ron, thanks for the phone call. We welcome in now Ian Harrison at Ian Anywhere on Twitter. Covers the Toronto Raptors for the Associated Press. What's it like up there in Toronto after the Raptors won their first NBA title, upsetting the Golden State Warriors? It must be madness up there, Ian.
Last night was certainly a lot of fun out in the streets. A friend of mine texted me after the game and suggested we go outside and check out the scene in the streets, and it was a good time, a good Canadian party. I got to share an anecdote with you. We have a bunch of intersections here which have the sort of what we call scramble crossing for pedestrians allowed to cross diagonally whatever direction, and then the traffic goes. And I've seen this scene now at a couple of celebrations. I remember seeing it after Canada won the hockey gold at the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver. This is the most Canadian celebratory scenes. When the pedestrian signal is on, people run out in this busy intersection in downtown Toronto and whoop it up and jump up and down and scream. And then when the signal turns back for traffic, everybody dutifully retreats back to their corner of the sidewalk and lets the cars drive through. So a very clean Canadian celebration last night. A few people, enjoying it a little more excessively than others, but nothing too out of hand. But a lot of happiness, a little bit of disbelief, and just a lot of satisfaction to be on top of the sporting world for the first time in more than a quarter century.
Yeah, pretty special in particular. How are they feeling about Kawhi Leonard? Are they ready to just give him basically the entire country? He can have whatever he wants.
Yeah, even before the series is over, the mayor here was talking about naming a street after him if that was what it took to get him to stick around. And certainly, you know, that is immediately where attention turns now is retaining the guy who made this championship possible. And,
getting his name on the long-term contract. You know, it's still difficult to make a conclusive read of what his intentions are, obviously. But, you know, you saw a lot of joy and happiness in his face last night as the team celebrated that moment together. And, you know, there are those who read the tea leaves who think that his sort of happiness, his satisfaction with just not only just the basketball situation here, but also the staff, the medical staff that have helped turn him into a 9-game player, into a 60-plus regular season player, and then a superhuman playoff performer, basically. So we shall see. Obviously, you know, there are a lot of miles to go before that gets worked out. But some optimism, I would say, in Toronto that Kawhi Leonard could be sticking around.
Ian, do you have a favorite father's sporting moment that you share with your dad, you know, a sports moment that you share with your dad or stepdad or what have you?
I'm not sure if it's a Father's Day moment. I mean,
no, just a sporting moment with your dad or your stepdad, or whomever.
Yeah, I've got a lot of moments with my dad in various places. We used to go to a lot of Blue Jays baseball games when I was a kid.
Okay.
And we were at a game, I remember, in the 1992 ALCS, the year that the Jays went to the World Series for the first time. And I also remember going to soccer games in England with my dad. I remember going to see a big semifinal of our club from London, Tottenham Hotspur, in 1983, 84 season. Actually, this was 84 by the time the semifinal was happening, where they beat a team from Croatia to win the semifinals of one of the European Cup competitions. And that's a memory I'll remember forever. So, yeah.
Ian Harrison covers the Toronto Raptors for the Associated Press at Ian Anywhere on Twitter. Ian, thanks again, and if you are a father yourself, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Happy Father's Day to everyone.
All right, thank you. Coming back to Michael in Madisonville. What's going on, Michael? You're on WWL.
What's going on, Christian? This Mike that always bringing over pasta lie and chili to you and Bobby before.
There you go.
Off.
What's up, Mike? How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I had to call in and share a story. Kind of like your trip out of school over to the stadium for the game. Mine had a little heartbreak in it, too. It was 94, and I was on Christmas break from school. And so my dad's like, you know, what do you want to do? We'll go spend the day together. So my thing was to go to the Saints Museum. This was back when it was in Kenner, in the old Rivertown area.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get out there, and they're closed for the holidays. So I'm crushed. My heart's broken, you know. In fourth grade at the time, and my dad says, "Well, wait." He said, "I know where they practice at." He said, "Let's go ride by. You know, you never know. We might see some of the guys out there." So we head over to David Drive, and on the way there, my dad stops and picks up a notepad from my gas station. He said, "Just in case we see somebody, you might get an autograph." And sure enough, we caught the team, I guess, right as they were coming in. And man, I jumped out and I met so many of the guys and got autographs. I can't remember all of who they were, but the one that really stuck out was my favorite player at the time, and that was Morton Anderson. And he was nice enough. He came and chatted with us for a good 5 minutes and got an autograph from him. And it was an incredible day just to meet these guys. I had, at that point, never been to a Saints game before, never met a player. So it was huge, man. And God bless my dad. He passed back in 2008, but that's one of my best memories with him, and especially one that was sports-related.
Michael, I can relate to that one. I've got one I can share a little later on. But, yeah, I'm with you. That's a great, great memory. Thanks for calling in and sharing with us. Happy Father's Day. I know you're a dad as well. Happy Father's Day to you, man. And I can't wait to see you in September for the start of another football season. Bring me some pasta lie or whatever you guys are serving up that day.
I definitely will, man. And happy Father's Day to you. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Stepping away, coming back for Tommy and Biloxi, Chris in Lakeview, and Bobby in Metairie. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Man, I'm getting prompted on the text line to tell that story my dad was alluding to about a Buccaneers logo tattoo, one of which I saw in the stands of the Superdome. I'll get to that later on. First, though, Tommy on line 4 in Biloxi. Go ahead, Tommy. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for taking me. I got a story about, I guess it was 1993, when the Saints played the Eagles in the playoffs in the Dome. Mm-hmm. Growing up, we didn't have much money or whatnot, so my dad taking me to that game, that had to have been a big deal for us. I remember, you know, us losing that game and coming out of the dome and all the Eagles fans, you know, heckling you and giving you, you know, about it. Anyway, I had my Saints starter jacket, which was so popular back then, and I remember not wanting to wear it because we had lost, and it, you know, I didn't want to be wearing the losing team stuff. And boy, did my dad lecture me about, you know, if you're a fan, if you're going to go for no matter what it is in life, win, lose, or draw, you ride that out. And that was a lesson that, you know, I could apply to so many other things in life. And I really appreciated that from him. And, you know, it represented who he was. But then to come full circle, 20 years later, I ended up renting a house to somebody who played on that Eagles team. And they went about 6 months without paying rent. So go figure.
Well, I mean, hey, that business is business at that point, you know.
It was bittersweet. So anyway, I appreciate you letting me share that, and it meant a lot.
Yeah, you bet, Tommy. Thanks for the phone call. Happy Father's Day. Chris in Lakeview, quickly. Go ahead, Chris. You're on WWL.
Yes, sir. I'm your Marine's best friend. AC-130 Spectre gunships, baby. First SOW.
All right.
And then now here's the thing. I'm an old geezer. So when we were in the Boy Scouts, and we were chaperones at all the Saints games when they first started at Tulane Stadium. So my dad was a chaperone. We were just little kids, you know, and we would show everybody where their seat was. I mean, we saw the first Saints game. We saw the Sugar Bowl. We saw everything at Tulane Stadium. And then when they moved over to the Superdome, then the Boy Scouts didn't, you know, they weren't a factor. But back in the old days, man, my dad was one of the chaperones for the Boy Scouts, and everybody had their little section, and we showed everybody where their seat was. And I'll tell you two things. I thought we were unbeatable after that first kickoff when they ran it back for a touchdown. And then I guarantee that there was not half the people when Dempsey kicked his kick, because it was a rainy, miserable day. And it was hard.
I know what you're talking about. That's a day that in Saints history that a lot of people question how many people were actually in Tulane Stadium on Tom Dempsey's 63-yard field goal. Bobby, carrying you over to next hour. Also, Father's Day memories next here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.